Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. It's time for Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. This is episode 48 for May 31st, 2008. Girl Scouts go high tech. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by Booty Goo Diaper Rash Ointment. Save 20% off at checkout by going to bootygoo.com and using the coupon code monkeys. Booty Goo! And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
It's a time for Jumping Monkeys, the favorite part of the show of the day that I really like because we talk about monkeys, and I like the rhesus monkey. I like the chimpanzee, which
spider
is technically
monkey.
Not a monkey. It's a spider monkey. I love all the kind of monkey, and here she is. She's our monkey wrangler. Is Megan Maroney. I think that people probably download this podcast.
Because they think it's about monkeys. It's about monkeys. I actually get posts on my blog a lot. Like, there are no pictures of monkeys, you jerk. Sorry. Kids are like monkeys in so many ways.
That's why you call it Jumping Monkeys.
Yes, exactly. And
you have
we talk about parenting in the digital age. That's what we talk about. And today we are going to talk to Jamie Joyce, who is the communications director for the Girl Scouts.
Yes. Created by Julia Louis-Dreyfus 150 years ago. Right?
No, she's the one in Seinfeld.
Oh. I'm sorry, Juliette Lowe Gordon. You could see why I'd be confused.
Yes.
Okay.
But
so they're trying to modernize themselves.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to him because I know we have a lot of parents with kids of Girl Scout age or Brownie age. I was a Brownie. Brownies are Girl Scouts, same thing.
I was a Cub Scout, not the same thing.
Yeah, no.
Are they related? No.
Well, the Cub Scouts become Boy Scouts and Brownies become Girl Scouts. And it's the Boy Scouts of America and the Girl Scouts
of America.
So you're
saying a mommy scout meets a daddy scout and they fall in love?
I'm not saying anything like that because we have a clean tag. So later on, we're going to talk to Jamie Joyce of the Girl Scouts about how they are bringing the Girl Scouts into the digital age.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
And at the end of the show, we always hear from our listeners. That's you. So we want to encourage you to call. Call and tell us what you like. Tell us what you didn't like. Give us your parenting tips. Anything that you use.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be a question.
Right. No, it doesn't. You could sing us a song if you want. Whatever you want. We want to hear it. So call us at 707-981-4602. It's not a toll-free call. If you don't have free long distance or you don't want to spend that dollar, then...
It's not a dollar.
It's not... 89 cents, maybe even.
I know. It's probably cheaper than that.
I don't even know.
Most people
I've had
on their cell
distance.
Phones have free long distance,
yeah.
Right?
Or on my home phone, I have it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, everybody
Well,
does.
It's not free. It's just,
yeah,
you know, all you can
all
eat, kind
yeah.
of.
If you ate long distance, you would have as much as you want. Would you like some booty goo? We'll talk about that later.
You can email me, megan@twit.tv, and
yes.
Send me a audio file.
Well, we actually have one for a little later in the show, I believe.
Yeah, we do. We do. Mm-hmm. I finally found it.
So in every show, you like to spend some money, you mm-hmm. like to save some money, mm-hmm. and you like to give some away.
Mm-hmm. I do.
A little charitable thing.
We call it spend, save, give.
That's a good name for it.
Right, because we didn't have to think up something like Jumping Monkeys and people will get confused.
Yeah.
The spend is, this is a site called Inventing Matilda, inventingmatilda.com, and they have birth announcements. They're so cute. And they're so original.
Oh, I love them.
They made me want to have another baby. Unfortunately, Marco was not interested
said,
in another baby.
Three.
So I'm going to have to announce something else. They have photo cards, too. And Bonnie, who runs the site, I had a few emails back and forth to her telling her how much I loved her cute photo baby announcements.
Oh, they're really adorable.
And she said, for Jumping Monkeys listeners, she'd give them $10 off your whole order if you use the coupon code...
Isn't that cute?
Isn't that really cute?
I really like
so
that.
So use the coupon code JUMPM100.
JUMPM100.
And I'll put that in the show notes at jumpymonkeys.com and maybe even at twit.tv. That's a cute baby. But they're really simple. They're not like baby rattles and storks and, you know, aren't they cute? Just
they're
very
really
stylish.
Nicely done. Yeah,
look at that star one. Oh,
let's
so
look at the
cute.
Star one. Okay, here
yeah.
we go. So if you go to Inventing Matilda, what is that? Is that her daughter's name?
I'm guessing it is, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
She's a designer.
Yeah, and it's, you know, because, like, you want to be, this is the your baby's announcement to the world.
You know, I got to tell you one thing, though. Newborn doesn't look like that.
No, I know. But, I mean, you got...
That's a 6-month-old.
And that's fine. If you don't get around to sending your baby announcements until they're 6 months,
the picture will be better.
Yeah.
Let's face it, because a newborn looks like Winston Churchill, so... You could just, this is what I would do.
Right.
Get a picture of Winston Churchill.
Send it out.
And send that out.
Yeah.
I have friends who do very creative, and it completely stymied me.
Yeah.
Very creative birth announcements.
Yeah.
One did like a newspaper, you know, announcing. I mean, they just very over the top.
Yeah. They have a special site for twins and triplets.
Oh, they do?
You know, this is the era of twins.
Is it?
Yes.
I do see
there's,
a lot of.
There's a lot more twins, but I was reading something. On actually Jennifer Granick's blog, we talked to her last week. They have twins, but that this is going to be a temporary age of twins because they're going to get better at fertility treatments.
So a lot of it's just from in vitro.
Or like older women having babies, but like they're just going to, science is getting better. So there's going to be like this 10-year window.
There's a newborn.
Yes.
That's a
that
newborn.
Is a cute newborn.
That's it. They cleaned them up. I think a little photo retouching is what that is. That's Photoshop.
Well, I was telling my mom I wish that we just got this kid's school pictures back, and there's a big bite mark on Huck's face from Milo. I was like, couldn't they have retouched that? And my mom's like, you don't retouch preschool school pictures. This
well,
is
you
it.
Heard what happened.
What?
With a, it was, I think, a Dallas high school yearbook or somewhere in Texas high school yearbook. We were talking about it on the radio show. A very well-known photo company, you know, national photo company that goes out and takes the pictures, did major retouching.
Really?
On the so much so that one girl swears that her head is on another a boy's body, that they took blemishes out. They just did major retouching.
That's so funny.
So much so that they're actually recalling the whole yearbook.
Oh, that's
it was
funny.
Just a mess.
Because whose pictures are they going to use on those classreunion.com ads like 20 years from now?
Yeah, exactly.
The really crazy hair. And
so I don't know. You're right. I think your mom's right. I don't think you should be retouching any of these photos. No.
So inventingmatilda.com.
Like
thanks
that.
To Bonnie for that coupon code, JumpM100. And then we're going to save. This is called Retail Me Not.
And this is a wiki?
It is a wiki. You can add your own coupon codes and then, you know, vote for which ones are better. This came from Ryan K. He recommended it. And it's really cool. And I've been checking it out using because I'm looking for a new iPod since mine apparently has water damage.
Although, again?
Yes.
Although this time you did not wash it?
No, I didn't. I don't know what happened, but I sent it back to Apple because I have Apple Care, and then they sent it back saying they wouldn't fix it because it had water damage.
People, you know, I know I have friends who say, oh, get Apple Care because they'll take anything. No.
No, they don't.
No, they do not.
And it was annoying.
You're saying it didn't get wet, and they still said it had water damage?
Yeah, they said, I mean, they could tell, because he said, you know, I was like, I didn't get it wet. I'm not lying to you. I'm an honest person. I actually did get one wet and didn't send it back, because I knew you wouldn't fix it. And he said, it could be anything but like sitting next to a wet towel.
Oh, please.
So.
Thank you, Apple. So don't buy Apple Care. What a wet. I've said this for a long time. You know. Self-insure because it doesn't really get you anywhere.
Well, you were telling me, I was thinking I might even just get like a Zen Creative MP3 player and not even get another iPod, but you said get an iPod.
Well, did you buy anything on the Apple Store?
No, I was going to, but I also have a friend who I know loves to buy new gadgets, and I just sent him an email and I asked him if he wanted him to sell his old ones. Because everybody wants to get a new one.
Sansas are nice. They're from SanDisk. SanDisk Sansa, S-A-N-S-A. They're very affordable.
And it's really easy to sync with your iTunes.
It doesn't sync with iTunes. That's
you just
the
have
problem.
To move
you copy
what about
stuff
your,
over.
Everything you bought, you can
if
easily
If you bought
copy.
Anything in the iTunes Music Store, you have to get an iPod. Did you? That's what I was saying. Did you buy anything online?
Well, tons of stuff.
Oh, yeah, you
so
have,
then
to,
I
get
have to get an iPod.
It won't play on anything unless you take the copy protection off. I know. Isn't that frustrating?
How did I not know that? And podcasts, is it easy? Because that's really,
no problem.
Yeah, you can get
And with most of them, like the Sansa, you just copy the stuff over.
Yeah.
So, but if you want to use iTunes, see, this is where Apple gets you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want that point, you know, from complete coverage, from buying the song to getting it over and all of that, it's very straightforward and easy. That's why the iPod is sold so well. Because it's just, you know, you buy it, you click, and boom, and it's there. If you get another player, you have to figure out, how do I copy it over? Yeah. Is it by hand? Do I have to use a special program? It's just not as easy, unfortunately.
Right. So anyway, Retail Me Not.
That's not right.
Retail Me Not has coupon codes for ThinkGeek, other places we like. Babies R Us. So yeah, you rate whether the coupon worked for you or not so that they go further down.
So these coupons Are they online coupons?
Yeah, they're all online coupon codes. So, you know, when at the end of
Somebody might put in here monkeys for Booty Goo.
Right.
And
exactly.
Say, get 20% off on Booty Goo and just put it over there on retailmenot.com.
Right.
That's a good idea.
I love how
and then
you
anybody
really
can use it.
Don't, you know, everything about technology except for like getting discounts because you just never, like, you're just not a discount shopper. Like,
I'm not
you,
that kind
you
of
love
person.
To, you like to pay more.
I pay retail.
Or more.
I'll pay whatever they ask. I'm made of money, and I like spending it, and it makes me feel good. So I just, coupons, what are those? How would one save money with a coupon? How does that work exactly? What do you do? You say, here, I have a coupon, sir. Give me my money back. Can I use the coupons now for all the stuff I've already bought? Can I just print these out? And
you're
say,
familiar with the coupon code boxes at the end
no,
of a...
What are, I saw those. I didn't know what those were for.
RetailMeNot.com. Check it out. Let me know what you think about it. Call me if you don't like it. 707-981-4602.
Willerby is saying in our chat room, he knows what happened to your iPod.
What
Did
happened?
You do that, Willerby? He says, condensation. If you had it outside when it's cold, and you... I'm sorry. If you had it outside when it was warm, as it was, and then you brought it in into cool air. Do you have air conditioning at home?
No, but it gets cool. It's cold. Sometimes maybe I like it was
condense
hot.
It, out.
It was super it was, hot, and then
that,
it got cold.
Doesn't get that humid here though. So it would have to be humid, and then it would condense out, and that could be enough.
Well, you know what happened was I went to Chicago and I used it, and the battery was almost all the way down, and I plugged it into my friend's charger, and then it just got really hot, and then wouldn't charge anymore.
Somebody's saying no. It's if it's cold out, you bring it to the warm.
Well, it was hot, and I brought it to Chicago where it was hot.
Chicago's moist.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been near a water bottle or something. I don't know. I just need to get a case that, like, encloses it and always keep it on there.
I believe, and I may be wrong, but I believe in this universe, it's when you where the air is warm, you can have more moisture in it.
Right.
So that when you bring it into a cold place, the moisture condenses out. It could be... that I've got the physics wrong, but I believe in this universe.
Right.
Another universe, it might be the other way over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw also on RetailMeNot, when I was looking for Apple, I saw this place that has like these super duper cases that you can access everything, except it keeps it. Like they have waterproof cases.
If it were sealed.
Yeah.
And somebody's spitting it. You have three kids.
It's
Anything
true.
Could happen.
Anything could happen. All right. So now we're getting to the give section. This was an email that I got from Charles Pillsbury.
Yes.
He is a listener. He has a blog at blog.charlespillsbury.com. And he recommends FAME, Foundation for African Medicine and Education. It's a nonprofit organization started by Dr. Frank Artress, who happens to be Charles's uncle. It's to help improve the quality of medical care in East Africa.
That's very good.
And, Charles sent me the article that was recently in the San Francisco Chronicle about how he started it. It's really interesting because he was going on a trip with his wife to Mount Kilimanjaro, and he was like you. He didn't use coupon codes. He was made of money.
Right.
He almost died. Like he didn't defrost his water, and he was losing air. And when he was about to die, he thought, I have nothing to say for my life.
But he's a doctor.
I know, but he was just like in Modesto, just serving, I guess, just, you know, pretty healthy people. Anyway, when they were like bringing him back to life, they said, you know, Dr. Frank, we need you. They were bringing him back to life. But, you know,
Dr. Frank.
Nursing him back to life.
Yes.
didn't actually die. They said, we need doctors like you more here than they need you there. And he said, that's absolutely true.
So he and his wife moved to Tanzania?
I think it's Tanzania. And now they opened a clinic there.
That's awesome.
And there was also another article, the other reason Charles sent this to us, because there was a nurse that worked there for a long time who was from Petaluma.
Oh, neat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's cool. So it's FAME.
FAME. So you can, if you're like Leo and you're made of money.
FAME
and you
want to
donate.
.org.
Yeah, FAME, F-A-M-E, Africa.org.
I think that's
incredible. So thanks, Charles.
That's
really
neat.
I thought it was
really
great. Neat. And it just really made me think about, you know, like, what are you going to have to show for yourself after it's all over?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have all this, Twit Live.
You want to inherit this? Because I don't. When I'm dead, I won't really need it. Although I would like it if they'd kind of like put the coffin right here and I could just keep broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we've told people what Twit Live is.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't watched So what we, you know, these are audio podcasts, and you listen to them on your iPod or whatever the fact, yeah.
Or my Sansa.
Broken iPod. Your Sansa, they sound really good on a Sansa.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also watch us produce the show live, because we do it live usually every Thursday, 1:30 Pacific. That's 4:30 Eastern time.
Yep.
8:30 UTC.
We wear clothes.
20:30.
Mm-hmm.
We do wear clothes. I'm sorry. But other than that, it's a fascinating, fascinating broadcast. No, it's fun to watch. And we actually watch the chat room. We are this is really the beta version of Twit Live, but we're going to have multi-cameras. We're going to have the ability to include people in the chat room. So we do want you to start getting in the habit of going to Twit Live at 1:30 on Thursday afternoons, because eventually you'll be able to call in. We'll take our calls and questions during the show live.
Right.
So that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Twitlive.tv is the website. TWITLIVE, all one word, .tv, not .com.
Actually, it's just .com too.
.com works?
Yep.
I just got .com.
It works.
You tried it?
I tried it. It works.
Yeah, actually, that's great. So twitlive.tv or twitlive.com.
Yeah. All right. I think we have an Audible pick now. Audible is our sponsor. Audible.com.
Audible is, let me just tell you a little bit about it, then we'll get to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Audible is a audio book source that is just fantastic. I've been listening to Audible books for 8 years. I actually started listening to books on tape early on when I was commuting down to Tech TV, because it's 2 hours a day in the car. I mean, just a long time. And books on tape saved my life, but there were some things I didn't like about it. First of all, you had a box of like 20 cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
Cassettes would get jammed. You had to be careful with them, and you had to return them. And if you didn't finish the book in 30 days, you had to pay overtime fees, right? It was a real pain. So I was really glad when this little website came along. It was about 10 years ago, called audible.com, AUDIBLE. I said, wow, what a good idea. Now, this is very early days. I mean, I had a Diamond Rio. That was one of the very first, I think it was the first in the U.S. MP3 players, 512 megabytes. No, I'm sorry, 512K. No, it must have been 512 megabytes. 512 megabytes.
You fit one chapter on there.
Actually, the first one was 128 megabytes. It was very small.
Uh-huh.
You could just get one book on it. And Audible, in fact, in the early days, because nobody had MP3 players, actually had their own player in the very earliest days.
Oh, so people just played it from their computer.
Their own player, where they'd listen on their computer. I was able to put it on the Diamond Rio. I was so excited. But at the time, they just had a few books. Now, fast forward 10 years, they have the best books. All those books I was listening on the tape are now on audible.com. Mm-hmm. 45,000 plus titles. They're growing by thousands a month. Everything you'd ever want to listen to. The quality is superb. Early days of Audible, because people were downloading this on dial-up, they had lower quality. They've, you know, as people have gotten faster, now it's full quality.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great. I'm just such a big fan. And what a transformation it's been.
Yeah.
So now if you want to listen to books, you go to audible.com. Almost anything you can want. If it's on audiobook, you can get it. You download it. You put it on your MP3 player, your iPod, your iPhone, your Kindle, soon to be the Zune, I understand. You put it on your computer, as you said. You could listen to it, burn CDs and listen to it in your car. I mean, this thing is great. So I want to recommend it, audible.com. Now, we have a special deal. If you go to audible.com/monkeys, you get a coupon for one free book.
So we like
to pick a book.
Wow, yeah. My book pick this week is Streganona by Tommy DiPaolo.
Wait a minute, that's Witch Grandma.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Italian for Witch Grandma.
Yes. She is a, I don't know if that's the Italian for Witch Grandma, but she is a Witch Grandma. Did you read this? Do you remember reading this when you were little?
But it's also, I think it's an Italian fairy tale, an old Italian fairy tale that's been kind of reinvented.
It's sort of like The Sopranos in a picture book.
Yeah, I have to say this. I don't remember the torrent of pasta in the original Streganona.
Yeah, she, Big Anthony. See, I'm telling you, it's Sopranos. He wants to have the power of Streganona, and she can make beautiful, you know, she can make lots of pasta, and the pasta just keeps more, and pasta keeps growing. I don't want to give away the ending, just like I don't want to give away the ending of The Sopranos, but it's similar. But it's a great book.
It's only 12 minutes long. It can't be.
No, and you can use this for your credit. I think it's like $1.60 or something. Yeah, it's not very long.
Let me play a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I just want to hear. I like to hear. This is Peter Hawkins. Reading Streganona. I like her. The kids' books have music.
Streganona.
So do the adult books.
An old tale retold and illustrated by Tommy DiPaolo. In a town in Calabria, a long time ago, there lived an old lady everyone called Strega Nona.
I love that. He's a good reader.
Yeah, he is. I love Tommy DiPaolo, too. He wrote The Legend of the Blue Bonnet and Clown of God, too, which was one of Marco's books when he was little that we still read to the kids. It's he's a great children's writer. And, you know, I was reading something about kids' audiobooks that they really, they've done studies that say it improved kids' reading ability.
I believe that. Oh, yeah.
And they read up. Like, they can read
read more than they could read in a book.
Right, or listen to, even. Yeah. You know? Yeah, so.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
Well, this is a way to get one free, and I think if you've got kids, you're going to want to listen to Audible books. There's also audiblekids.com. Mm-hmm. But you also, for yourself, I think you should check out Audible. We recommend, in almost every show on the Twit Network, we recommend a book. We take the time to pick a book that we love. And by now, there's hundreds, I think, of books that we have picked.
We should put them all together on one page.
You know, I keep talking to Audible. I'm flying out there soon, and I want them. They were going to do a page, then I was going to do a page. We're going back and forth, but I want them to do a page of just all of our picks. Yeah. We have them all. They're all in a spreadsheet somewhere. Yeah. Audible.com/monkeys for your free book, and we do thank them so much for all they've done for the Twit Network. They're really footing the bill here
so
for Twit Live.
Next, we're going to talk to the Director of Interactive Marketing and Communications from the Girl Scouts, Jamie Joyce. He's currently responsible for the management and strategic direction of all the interactive communications of the Girl Scouts. And, Jamie has a background in communications. He's a geek, and so that's why he was their choice to speak with us.
Neato.
Jumping Monkeys.
Neato.
Jamie, welcome to Jumping Monkeys. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at the Girl Scouts?
Thanks, Megan. It's a pleasure to be here. Currently, I am serving as the Director of Interactive Communications and Marketing for the Girl Scouts. The national headquarters is here in New York. That's where I work, and we serve about 200 councils nationwide. We have a girl in every zip code, and our goal is to support them in everything they do.
So I heard on NPR that you guys are rolling out like a new internet campaign this fall. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, we've just gone through the selection process for agencies, and we're now in the process of creating a brand strategy, and we recognize that the digital portion of that strategy will be crucial and will be a huge leverage point for us. How exactly we're going to roll out in terms of tactics hasn't really been decided yet, but we recognize a huge opportunity in that space.
So what's your background, Jamie? When you've joined the Girl Scouts a few years ago, were you a tech guy before then?
I've always been kind of a tech geek. My first job out of college was working at a startup in San Diego, Rockenbach Toy Company, where I did probably the leading edge interactive media buys at the time and worked with online promotions, PR, and e-tail.
I love those Rockenbachs.
You're familiar.
Well, I have a son. He's 13 now, but they were, when he was about 7 or 8, we got, you know, and you buy all the pieces. Are they still around?
They are. They've changed hands, but they're still in production. When I was there, we won Toy of the Year at Javits a couple of years in a row,
and we're
destined for big things. But they've since gone mass market, I think.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
So Megan has 2 3-year-old sons, and when they get a little bit older, they'll want them. They're like modular. They're kind of, you know what they're like? They're like the train toys, the wooden train toys, except they've got motors in them. They move and they do stuff, and they're really cool.
And they're Lego compatible.
Yeah. So you can build these amazing things. Anyway, but that's not, has nothing to do with the Girl Scouts.
No, it really doesn't.
But it does have to do with your background in technology. So is this just a marketing thing? I mean, is it the Girl Scouts go social networking, or does it go a little deeper into the program as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think we recognize that the internet and web is like oxygen to our demographic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Girls were born with this. They it's so ingrained in their lives, they don't even recognize it as something separate. So, you know, we just recognize it as a place where they live, breathe, communicate, share stories, share memories, and just want to be a part of that experience.
Does this mean a Facebook for Girl Scouts?
You know, that's an interesting question, and it's one that we've done a lot of thinking about. I think the benefits of launching your own social networking site might be outweighed by the resources required
no
to launch
kidding.
It and maintain it.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be looking very hard at partnering or creating widgets or mobile apps for places where our girls are already congregating in a social space.
How is it is in the Girl Scouts of the 21st century? You're right. I mean, if you're a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girl, my daughter's 16, you're digital. Has that hurt enrollment? Has it hurt the Girl Scouts in terms of its image with young girls?
No, absolutely not. If anything, it's been a huge boon for us, I think. The ability to communicate to girls directly is something we've never really had the ability to do before in a meaningful way, at least not at the national level. Certainly at the local level, that was possible, but the ability to really connect all girls everywhere has become a reality thanks to this new communication channel.
So what would a Facebook widget for the Girl Scouts look like? What would it do?
That's a great question. I'm welcome to suggestions. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, the only thing that we've done with Facebook to date that's real is we've, as part of our ongoing promotion of the now two-year-old website, GirlScoutCookies.org, which is used to connect people to local Girl Scouts in their area during cookie season, we created a Facebook game app where you can send Thin Mints to your friends and
Samoas
to your friends and fill up each other's cookie jars and get new ones. So we had a lot of success with that this year in promoting GirlScoutCookies.org. And I think we'll see something else on Facebook, but we really don't know what it looks like yet.
Yeah, you have. I mean, if you go to GirlScoutCookies.org, you see MySpace.com, Flickr, and Facebook. I mean, you're clearly trying to, you know, say, hey, we're part of this social scene these days.
Absolutely. We want to be wherever they are.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Be a part of their life.
So this is initially marketing. Do you now have technology badges? I mean, does it change also the Girl Scouts program itself?
Yeah, Girl Scouts has had computing badges since the 80s. We've been at the leading edge of technology in every possible way. There's a huge initiative in the organization called Girls Go Tech. We've partnered with the Ad Council and have driven enrollment that way. We offer a ton of programs. We've partnered with NASA, MIT, Berkeley, all sorts of folks to give girls opportunities in the areas of science, technology, engineering, and math.
Right on. That's great. Do you notice a rising interest in that stuff?
We do, certainly. I think that there's a huge interest up until the age of high school, it seems like, that girls have in technology. And then for whatever reason, sometime in high school, I don't know if it's because it's not cool or culturally there's some norms there, but there is a drop-off in interest at the high school level, and it translates to reduced attendance in those majors in college.
And that's what we want to change.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's something we're really looking to target and make a difference in.
So, I mean, how does that work? Because, I mean, girls in high school still use Facebook and, they have blogs and they chat, but they see, like, the science aspect as something different and nerdy and not good.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the contrast of the social and the science. I think they recognize the social value and the social benefit to the technology, but maybe not the technology itself. I'm really just speculating here.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody wonders. Did that not happen to you, Megan? Did you kind of? I mean, I think some girls, unfortunately, say, "Oh, I'm not going to be popular if I'm a geek. I'm not going to. The guys won't like me if I'm too smart." This has always been the problem.
Right.
My daughter is a sophomore in high school and has discovered biochem. And loves it. Mm-hmm. And I just pray that it never gets to the point where she has to choose between boys and biochem, you know?
Yeah.
I want her to continue in that if that's something she loves.
Yeah.
You know? But I have a feeling that is some of what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sexist about it, but I think that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, that's true.
You get scared off, right?
Yeah. Or there's that underlying idea that you're not as good as boys at math. Or
that's
science,
even worse, and that might be more insidious. But that's what something an organization like Girl Scouts could make a big difference in, mm-hmm. by saying to girls, you know, stay in this. This is interesting, and it's appropriate for you to be interested in this.
Right.
I think just offering the programs that expose girls to these opportunities at an early age and really kindle the excitement in these areas is crucial to getting people to stay with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
So I guess Girl Scouts always is about leadership, and you guys released a study in March about how girls are ambivalent about leadership. How are you guys trying to change that?
Yeah, I think girls... girls have an aversion to leadership with a capital L, but really are natural leaders themselves. I think they just don't recognize how much they lead in their everyday lives. They lead their siblings. They lead their classmates. Girl Scouts themselves lead their own troops in many cases. So I think they're natural leaders and they aspire to leadership, but they don't think of it as leadership. I think it's a kind of a vocabulary piece.
Well, maybe Hillary Clinton's going to change a little bit of that.
That would be great.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this is a really seminal turning point, really, for women and for African Americans, this Democratic campaign. And I think for both groups, this might be an opportunity to say, wow, you can aspire to the highest office. Hillary Clinton herself has said she's going after the biggest, toughest glass ceiling of them all.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the kind of thing you need to see. That's
yeah.
what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. We ask the girls what they want out of Girl Scouts, and the one thing that keeps coming back is that they want to change the world.
Yeah.
And what could be, you know, what spells leadership more than that?
Right.
And that's what Girl Scouts,
right.
you know, facilitates.
I say my daughter, if you asked her, that's exactly what she would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do Girl Scouts do these days? Is it cookies and crafts? And
I think it's changed a little bit. I hate to tell you.
It's changed a little bit. They're going to space camp at NASA. They're rafting down rivers in Colorado. They're picking mushrooms in Seattle. They're interning at companies on Madison Avenue. They're learning how to do online marketing, but most importantly, they're helping others.
Great.
And helping make a difference in their community.
Great. That's neat. So, what can we look for in the next 6 months, say, in terms of technology in the Girl Scouts? A new revitalized interest in social networking?
Yeah, I think we are on the cusp of something great here at Girl Scouts. It's a very exciting time to be here. We just onboarded our first chief marketing officer, Laurel Ritchie, who's a 25-year veteran of Ogilvy & Mather. And she's going to be helping spearhead our first brand campaign, really, in 40 years. The last
wow.
time someone touched our logo, I believe it was Saul Bass. The last time someone...
You're kidding.
Absolutely. And the last time someone touched our uniform, I believe it was Bill Blass. So, you know, there's a history there.
Yeah.
And I think with the onboarding of Laurel Ritchie, we've seen a lot of interest in the advertising marketing community around what we're about to do. And certainly the other nonprofits have taken notice. So I think it's very exciting. We are taking a very hard look at our web presence. So I think in the next 6 months, you can expect to see changes in how we communicate with our audiences, both internally and externally. So first, we're going to be launching a state-of-the-art intranet and extranet with all sorts of 2.0 capabilities that give us the ability to really work directly with our volunteers, which is something we haven't had a chance to do before, and to really assist our councils in more meaningful and collaborative ways than we've been able to in the past. And then following that, we will most likely be relaunching completely new web properties targeted at both our adult audiences of volunteers, donors, members, moms, dads, and then also the sites that target our girl membership.
That's the trickiest one, isn't it? That last one is getting the girls online together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's lots of questions about that.
Right.
You know, do you target all girls in one website? Do you segment it by age level?
Right.
Do you target only members versus non-members? And these are the conversations that we're having now.
It's an interesting challenge for an organization as longstanding as the Girl Scouts, but a lot of organizations are facing this. What do we do in this social networking world? How do we create a community online? We've got this great community offline. Does it translate to online, and can we do it successfully? And it's a very difficult thing to do, but I can see, you know, if money and time were no object, I could see a Girl Scouts, you know, online social space would be amazing for Girl Scouts, to meet other Girl Scouts, to meet people around the world. I mean, it really would be wonderful, but what a challenge to create something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? The great thing is those places have already been built.
True. If
right.
you can piggyback
on
it.
It's a matter of learning how to leverage them in a way that's meaningful for our Girl Scout members.
So you don't think you'll be building it yourself, but you do think you'll, as you said, with widgets and other things, kind of piggyback on MySpace and Facebook and things like that.
Yeah, I don't think a nonprofit really has the resources to do that effectively.
Yeah.
And we also recognize that, you know, there's a flavor of the week component to social
yes.
networking.
You can spend a lot of money and then poof, nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to go to the place where people already are.
Yeah, so we've already kind of dipped our toe in those waters with the GirlScoutCookies.org page, as you mentioned. So we've started Flickr pools. We're on MySpace. You can become a friend of the cookie.
I am, by the way, a friend of the Samoa. I am a big friend, way too big of a friend of the Samoa. All right, go on. That's good, a friend of the cookie. So I'm clicking the MySpace or the Facebook link here. What it'll do is it'll say, if you're on Facebook, you could be identified as a Girl Scout on Facebook.
That is correct.
Okay, so perfect. That's a perfect way to do it. Yeah.
Any Girl Scout podcasts yet that you know of?
No, but it's very interesting. That came up in a meeting today. We're looking at everything. Yeah, I would love to start being way more proactive in the space. And it's really a matter of aligning our resources. We're kind of undergoing a paradigm shift here in our organization where we were print-based. Now we're moving to web-based. Right. And we've been doing it in some respects, but we've kind of been straddling two worlds. And we're really trying to move completely over to a web-centric way of work.
Well, you're not alone. This is, as I said, this is something every long-standing organization is facing. And it's difficult. It's a great challenge because you have to bring the mores and the style and the feel of the organization to a whole new medium. It's very difficult.
It's complicated even further by the fact that we're sort of a franchise system where we have these 200 councils out there who run their own organizations, and we have to support them as well. So facilitating change, not just at the national level, but at the local level.
Yeah, I've been involved in something very similar with a nonprofit, and it's when you have these independent organizations or semi-independent autonomous organizations, each one has their own idea. Each one has its own website. And it's really challenging to come up with a kind of a central theme and a central standard and a central plan.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you have to recognize that not all the franchises or councils in our case have the same resources.
Right, right.
Or maybe are using the same language to code their websites.
There you go.
So there's definitely complications that we're looking to streamline.
Well, it sounds like you're well on your way, Jamie. I'm really glad we could talk about this. And is there something, so there are certainly Girl Scout parents listening, maybe even some Girl Scouts listening. Is there some way they can get back to the national organization and participate in this conversation?
Absolutely. Come to GirlScouts.org and, see what Girl Scouts is doing today. I'm sure a lot of people have great memories of the Girl Scouts when they were kids, but I think they'd be surprised by where Girl Scouts is in the year 2008. And I think that would be just a great thing for people to share.
And the national convention's coming up end of October, early November of this year. And I imagine this will be a big conversation.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, the digital conversation is the first one that everyone seems to be having when they meet in the elevator these days.
Jamie, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon. Yeah,
right.
Thank you, Megan.
I realize this is, I forgot that they are not a single organization, that they have all these independent, semi-independent, groups. And that's really tough. That's a really tough thing to do.
Yeah. But it's definitely something, there's a lot, there's similar organizations. There's like the Indian Princesses. Did you do that with Abby? That's like with the dads and.
No, I don't think Abby would have done that.
She didn't do Girl Scouts. Did she do Girl Scouts?
She might have been a brownie briefly.
Yeah.
Henry was a Cub Scout briefly. Mm. I was a Cub Scout briefly. I don't think she did that. No.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting.
She might have done Bluebirds or something. I can't remember.
What's Bluebirds?
Yeah, same thing. It's another thing.
It's not as known. It's interesting because this whole girl thing is sort of coming back now. We talked about the Dangerous Book for Girls.
It's great to empower girls. I was glad to hear that they're promoting technology and science. And, that's wonderful. Yeah. Those things are the things that should be done. But what's very difficult is girls' interests have changed.
Uh-huh.
Where girls go to congregate is changing. And it's changing very fast. Even from when Abby was 13 to when Abby's 16, it was, was phone for older, probably you when you were a teenager, was a phone.
Uh-huh.
For Abby, it was instant messaging. It's not instant messaging anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just changing too rapidly.
It does seem to be changing faster.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the phone for a long time.
It was the phone for years, for decades.
Yeah.
Since the phone was invented.
Yeah.
What did girls do before there was a phone?
They wrote notes to each other in class.
Go to the mall?
They,
Yeah, I guess not the mall. They hung around the Cracker Barrel.
They helped their parents. They helped their moms.
They did chores.
They helped their moms.
They baked. They washed clothes.
So they darned socks.
Damn, I wish we'd go back to those days. Those were the good old days.
All right. Well, I have some other links.
Well, let's go.
Do you want to go to some other links?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Before we do.
Let's talk about.
Let's booty goo.
Booty goo. That's a great idea.
Booty goo.
It's a fantastic
booty
idea.
Booty goo. I love booty goo. Now,
goo.
Where's the booty goo?
It's.
Did you steal my booty goo?
Is it under my booty? No. Who stole your booty goo?
Oh, man. I had it right
here. Oh, here it is. I did
That's
steal
the problem
your booty
with
goo.
Booty goo.
I know. Everybody steals your booty goo.
So, what is booty goo?
It's a diaper rash ointment.
Oh, but it's so much more.
It is so much. That's what I like it because my kids are headed out of diapers. We just use diapers at night. But this is also good for rashes. And cuts and scrapes.
This has more, you know, you can go out. What we grew up with the kids, we used another kind of ointment that really was just basically, it had just zinc oxide in it.
Mm-hmm.
This has more active ingredients than anything else on the market.
Yeah.
It was designed by an Arkansas pharmacist.
Oh.
It's actually kind of a neat story. He wanted to make something better, something with all natural ingredients that would be good for people, good for your booty.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up, his name is Jim Foote, and he came up with just like a wonderful, you can actually read the story at bootygoo.com, BOOTYGOO.com. The company's called Skinsake, and I just think this is, I just put some on, and it smells so good, and you notice my rash is gone.
Yeah.
Jeff Foote.
Actually,
Jeff Foote is his name.
It is. It does look like it's
it helped.
Gone. Yeah.
It's very soothing.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what's in this.
Okay. You tell me. It's not that many ingredients, actually, which is always good.
No, but it has more active ingredients. It doesn't have a lot of junk in it. So you've got Peruvian balsam, which is used to promote growth of skin cells. They use it for wound treatment and stuff like that. Vitamin E, which, as everybody knows, protects your skin cells. Aloe, also used for burns. Zinc oxide, that dries it. Because it protects it from moisture and also has an antiseptic action. A germicide, boric acid, which is very mild. You know, use that for eye washes and things like that. So it's an anti-infective but non-irritating. So you can use it on your sensitive parts. And then it has mineral oil and castor oil as an emollient. So it softens. And it smells great. I think it's the Peruvian balsam. It just has
that makes it smell so good.
Oh,
yeah,
it smells
I don't
so
know.
Good.
It also is not greasy. And
no,
it didn't stain
I like it.
Your skin. Didn't stain your clothes, which is
so
nice.
So Jeff Foote invented this. He's a pharmacist. He's been making his products for over 35 years. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You can get it online. Look for it at better drugstores. You know, ask for it. Say, do you carry Skinsake's booty goo? And they'll go, mm-hmm. And then they'll say, maybe we do. Let's go look. And if they don't, they ought to. And if you want, you can also order it online at bootygoo.com. It's very affordable.
And
we're going to make it more affordable.
More affordable.
Right now, we are going to give you 20% off at checkout. All you have to do is use the word monkeys as your coupon
code.
Yep.
Monkeys.
20% off. That is a very good deal.
Yeah.
So say hi to Jeff. Go on over there. I like the picture on the website of him with the two babies. Do you see that?
Yeah.
They're booty goo. They got booty goo. Go over, say hi to Jeff. Tell your friends about it. And you know what? Just get that first tube and try it. And I think, especially if you have babies, but even if you have little kids, can I borrow a little bit of booty goo?
Sure.
Because this really helped. I'm not kidding.
You know,
helped.
If you don't have kids, a good shower gift. Stick it in like a
there
little
you
basket
go.
Of
There you go. Bootygoo.com. Use the word monkeys for 20% off.
Okay. So let's do some other links and then we can hear from
listeners. We have some
listeners.
Calls. We have listeners.
Yeah.
I have lots
feedback.
Of calls. Yes.
Excellent. Okay. I have a few other links. Every year, salary.com does a little, average salary that a dad or a mom should make. And
yes.
This is, you can go to this link and put in all the things you do as a stay-at-home dad or not stay-at-home dad, a working dad, or a stay-at-home mom.
I used to be a stay-at-home dad. Then I did this. Now I never see my
children.
And
you can enter all the things. And it's amazing. It's like over $100,000 a year that you should be making as a mom or a dad.
What?
Yeah. For all the things that you do and that people get paid to
wow.
do, you know, taxi driver.
Yeah.
I
think that's
teacher.
Right. I think that's actually
yeah.
true. I think about how hard Jennifer works. I think
yeah.
she's not paid enough.
Yeah. I was speaking to someone today who was like, we were discussing this and they said, yeah, my husband, I should show him that because he just thinks I do nothing. And I was
most,
like, really?
Most husbands do because what happens? We go to work.
Yeah.
We come home. What happened in between? You were eating bonbons and going to the parties.
No,
and
the things it takes to run a household, like without even
incredible.
The kids, like it's like
incredible.
The car and the, yeah, it's
no,
crazy.
No, I've learned. My wife is really, she said, well, remember the book? They should have this book again. It was a kid's book where the wife went to work and the husband stayed home. Uh-huh. And the cow got onto the roof and started eating the roof. The husband, he was trying to make food. Do you never saw this? See, that's a shame. That book should live on. Yeah. I'll find the name of it because it's great. And it really taught me as a kid, you go to work. Right. But let me tell you, mom's got a job. And every once in a while, I'll stay home and take care of the kids.
Yeah. So I found these links on a site called Rebel Dad. It's a blog, the stay-at-home dad revolution under the microscope.
Yes.
Which I was so glad I found the site. I really like, he posts links about stay-at-home dads and, you know, how they are seen in the media, which is interesting. Because, I mean, dads
I know a stay-at-home dad. I think of him as a wuss. I do.
Why?
Because he's a stay-at-home dad.
Leo.
Isn't that terrible?
That is terrible.
But I'm admitting it.
I can't believe you still think that after all of the stay-at-home dads.
I know
dads
it's wrong, but I have to say it comes into my mind that, oh, well, if you were really a man, you'd go out and earn a living. And I know that's wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of the guys who do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
That's why I know how hard my wife's job is.
Yeah.
5 hours with the kids, I want to kill somebody. So I couldn't do it. And you know what, guys? And in fact, you know, we know some really great stay-at-home dads. And Buck, if you're listening, I apologize, but I think he's great. His wife's a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Buck is a very accomplished, smart guy, and he did a great job raising his kids.
Yeah.
He stayed home with them.
Yeah.
But I did think it was weird, and that just shows how much prejudice there still is out there.
Yeah. There
is. I cop to it.
Yeah, okay. Here's another
I don't
link.
Have it anymore. My consciousness has been raised.
Okay, good. This is a site that I really like. It's called Vintage Kids Books, My Kids Love. And it's actually Vintage Children's Books, mykidslove.com.
I love Vintage Children's Books.
Yeah, maybe and it's a blog. Maybe, yeah. It's a blog from a mom who calls herself Scribble. She's from San Antonio. And she reviews a vintage book every day on her blog. And
oh,
it's very
nice.
Cool. I mean, she has pictures and descriptions. It's great because I'm always looking for new children's books.
Can I read you something that I just read in the chat?
Yes.
That is so right on.
Is it that I look old?
No, it's from a guy you never know this from his handle. His channel is Chainsaw Charlie.
Uh-huh.
He says, it's the beginning of a great adventure. He's talking about having your kids. And all the sacrifices you make during your child's life come back to you 100-fold as you age. And all your memories are not just stored in a photo album, but actually walk through the door and give you a hug and love you back.
Did he get that from somewhere?
I don't know. Chainsaw Charlie wrote that, I think.
Oh.
You're absolutely right on. He says he's 51, as am I, and he says it's worth it no matter when you begin. And I have to say, as my kids get older, I miss the hardest time, which is the time you're in right now when they were younger.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
Right.
That's really neat. So Vintage, so give me the link again. I want to see if they have that book.
Vintage Children's Books, mykidloves.com.
That's the longest thing. Oh, boy. Okay.
Vintage Children's Books, mykidloves.com.
Boy, it wasn't hard to get that domain.
I sent you these links, didn't I?
I know. I'm just typing it in. I like to type it in. Loves.com. All right. No, you're right. I'm looking at. I could have clicked the link. All right. A book a day. Oh, Make Way for Dunklings. We mentioned that before.
Oh, is that on there?
That's the number one on there right now.
Oh.
Oxcart Man. I bet you if I sent this woman an email, Scribbler, she would know that book.
Yeah.
Where the husband and wife trade. Because it's a vintage children's book.
Yeah. I think she might even listen to the podcast. She might have sent me an email.
Scribbler, if you're listening, what is that book? And they're kind of an older, it's like an old fashioned book, and because they still have a thatch roof with grass on it, and the cow gets up on the roof and it eats. And then the guy's trying to get the cow off. It's actually very comedic. Get the cow off the roof, and he ties a rope around his waist, and he falls down the chimney, and he's hanging over the boiling soup pot. And it's just great. And the wife comes home and says, "You see? Not as easy as you thought, is it?"
Yeah. So true.
So, Scribbler, if you know that one, give us a holler.
Okay.
Actually, I could give her this the number, 707.
Oh, yeah, the number. What is that number?
981-4602. 707. This is their Grand Central number. 707-981-4602, and you'll leave a message there and tell us the name of that book.
Yeah, not a toll-free number, but, you know.
Nothing
if you don't have free long distance yet, you should get it.
Yes.
All right, now it's time, speaking of our number, to listen to some calls, read some emails. What should we do first,
Let's
Leo?
Listen to some calls,
okay.
Megan Maroney.
As always, we don't screen these calls because that's the kind
of
people
we are. Hey, guys, just listen to episode 44. Love the show. Leo, love the Twit Live. The last caller / emailer that you had was talking about homework and important, you know, that I haven't heard so far, and you guys did kind of sort of touch on it. It's not so much time-wise as in, you know, busy lives and everything. I have 5 kids. I'm 25 years old, and I have 5 kids. Whoa. Oldest being 13, 3 are for my stepkids, but the oldest being 13, and it makes life difficult for my wife. I work nights. So not only does she have to cook and do homework for 5 kids, or 4 of which are in school, it's difficult for her to spend 2 hours, you know, even 15 minutes reading per kid. By the time she gets to the last one or even the first one, it's difficult. No excuse, but, you know, the old, like I said, with an eighth grader, a sixth grader, you know, and what's it, third grader and a first grader, it's just hard. And then I've got a 4-year-old son that's going to be doing preschool, and reading is part of that also. So that starts in August. So we'll have 5 kids in school, and sometimes it's just overwhelming.
See, that's the kind of the point I was making, where the husband of the teacher was saying this is one way a kid teacher gets the parents involved. But if the parents can't get involved for very good reasons, then it punishes that parent and that kid.
Yeah. And that, having a lot of different kids. And I didn't really think about that because my kids are 2 years apart. So when we read to them, we read all together. And I imagine that we'll be able to do that for a while.
Yeah, you're very lucky. I mean, you're not exactly, you still work, but you have a flexible work schedule. You can work at home. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. You're able to, lest we forget, your parents live a block away.
Yeah, I have it really good.
So
I feel really lucky.
So jealous. And now your husband's going to be kind of a half-time stay-at-home dad, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell him how you feel about stay-at-home dads when I get home. And I don't know if I've mentioned that he knows karate, but...
Marco is not a wuss. I'm scared to death of Marco. No. I was saying that just to show you that even I, the liberated, sensitive male...
Yes, you're just being
that
honest.
I am...
I understand.
...has this fleeting thought, which I would never say out loud, never act. Of course, I just did, but I would never act on it. I would never say it to anybody. It's a fleeting thought, and it goes away, and I go, oh, bad boy. You shouldn't think that, because... they're doing probably the most important thing in the world,
and
which is raising
their
children.
Yeah, and you had a very flexible schedule when they were little. You stayed home.
When Abby was first born, I only worked 3 days a week, and I was home the rest of the time.
You took her to Gymboree. And even,
and
when we did the screensavers, you didn't get, like, you left at like 10.
I'd get in around 11.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Marco's going to
so
do.
I could
He's
the,
just going to get,
set the kids up for school and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's huge. The mornings are huge.
Yeah, the mornings are big in terms of work. The evenings, I think, are important.
Yes,
to be there for dinner, and I wasn't often because of the screensavers.
Right, when it was on at 6:30 or 6 o'clock.
So to be home at dinner and to be with the kids then is really important. So you know, my schedule now, the way I've arranged this is, I come in here around 11, and I leave around 4 or 5, so I get both ends, and that's one of the reasons I'm doing this, is so I could be home.
And if you stay later or come in earlier, people can watch you when they know you're not telling the truth.
I'm here. You see. No, the real problem is now I get home and the kids don't want to be here.
Yeah.
That's too late. You got to do it when they're little.
Yeah. All right. So I have an email. A few episodes ago, we talked about a service called Baby Plays, which was a Netflix for toys, sort of. You could rent 3 or 4 toys and then give them back when your kids got sick of them. And I got this message from Susan about that. She says, I tried Baby Plays, but just canceled after my 3-month required membership was up. The rules changed throughout my 3 months, and now it's only 3 toys, not 4, for $36.99 a month.
Wow.
Most toys count as 2 by their new rules, so you could only have 2 toys for that fee. The last straw came when I sat down last night to play with the pirate ship toy we received. I'd had it on the shelf so my son didn't lose or break in any of the many, many parts, a constant fear with toys that aren't yours. So I know he wasn't responsible for the crusted-on goo I found on the ship's bow.
Okay, so this is a bad...
So much for their sanitizing process. So I don't know. I mean, you know, normally I don't like to read really negative feedback if I don't have someone else giving positive, but that's very specific.
They changed the pricing, and I think if you know, you only get 1 toy or 1.5 toys because they only, I think that's not such a good deal.
Yeah, so
you know what it is? They thought it was a good idea that it would work, that a Netflix model for toys would work, and they realized it doesn't work.
Yeah,
and they're trying to recoup it, and it's not working.
Yeah,
that's what's happened. Another voicemail.
sure,
why not? This one's from Downey, California. Let's go to the phones.
Okay, fellas, I get the point. I creep you out. I swear to you that I'm not like rude.
Wait a minute. We should explain who this is. This is the guy, the pot grower.
No, right? No. I'm not even sure what his name is, but he calls a lot from Downey. I don't think
he had trouble before.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't creep us out. We just couldn't figure out what's going on.
Oh, Yankovic. But I do have one question and a couple comments.
Okay.
Question number one.
Yes.
I've got, I foo-boarded it up again, sorry.
See, this is the reason. It's not that you creep us out. It's just write it down, okay? Okay, well...
Did he hang up or are you...
No, we'll start over.
Okay.
My question is that while I was having cancer treatments to St. John's Hospital up in Santa Monica, that one of the doctors wrote down that I appeared to be mentally retarded.
Well, that's mean. That's mean.
I'm just a little bit misunderstood and possibly have bipolarism. And I know I have problems speaking and whatnot, so you got to have to bear with me if you get through if you play through this message entirely.
You got 28 seconds before it runs out.
So basically, my question is this.
Yes.
Can I sue for defamation of character?
No, this is not a legal show. You got the wrong show. All right. I got one more.
That's just not very nice for him, for a doctor to call anyone.
That's a
retarded.
Mean thing to say. And yeah. I don't know if you can sue. We're not lawyers.
No.
But it's mean. I don't think you can sue for defamation of character.
And I'm sorry if you thought we were laughing at you.
We weren't, so don't sue us. We're not laughing at you. But this is a show about parenting.
Right.
So we can't really help you. And I'm not a lawyer, and I wouldn't want to give you legal advice.
How about we listen to this audio comment from Mike Distra? Which I've already listened to because he emailed it to me.
See, that's probably a good thing.
Emailed me at megan@twit.tv, which anybody can.
One can do that.
And he recorded.
And this is what he recorded. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's see the hand. I want to see the hand.
That's not it.
Spider crawled up the wall. That's a very strange message.
Down came the rain and washed the spider out.
But I do like it.
Out came the sun and dried out all the rain, and the itsy bitsy spider crawled up the spout again.
Do you know who that is?
That was actually not Mike Distra.
No, that was your children.
That was, we came for a visit in the studio yesterday and sang a little Itsy Bitsy Spider with Leo.
So you're saying you sent me this audio?
I did. It was attached to the show notes.
No.
It wasn't?
You think it was attached to the show notes. I don't see anything attached.
I see PGP. Oh, no.
Is it a link?
It's not. There's not audio file
attached?
There's no
file attached.
Okay, Mike. Mark.
I'm sorry,
we're
going to
play your file next week.
I see the words audio comment attached from Mark Dykstra.
Okay. I'll try to email it to you while you play another call.
I don't see the thing. Okay. So, by the way, here's another call from Troy, Michigan.
Oh, good.
Hi, Megan and Leo. My name's Larry Latouf from Rochester Hills, Michigan. I'm a father of five and a longtime fan of both of you. And actually, I just realized that before I called that I've probably been listening, reading, or watching Leo every day for the last 10 years.
That's so sad.
But I'm calling to thank you for mentioning Jeannie a while back, one of your earlier shows. It's the Family Tree site.
Oh, yeah.
I was working on something like that myself
Jeannie.com.
For my fairly large extended family. And after you mentioned that, I kind of dropped that project and started using Jeannie. And now between me and a few of my family members, we're up to about 1,200 leaves on the tree and getting a lot of that information in there, going back over 100 years of, actually, I think it's almost 200 years of family.
Oh, wow.
And I just wanted to call and thank you for that, because it was probably one of the most useful things I found on the net in a while. And also, I thought it would be a good idea, maybe if you could interview those behind Jeannie.
We could.
Find out.
We could, absolutely.
What their plans are, because I found that a lot of my family, extended family who aren't familiar with the web, are kind of worried that all the time and effort they're putting into the site and where that information is going to be going. I've been trying to figure out ways to get it out, the information out, and back it up. But I just thought it might be a good interview. But again, thanks for the great podcast, and bye.
I guess he's done.
He said goodbye. I think I'll definitely call him. I don't make a habit of finding people of like Web 2.0 sites to interview, because that's kind of more Net at Night thing, and I don't know
so
if people
we'll just
are
do it
interested
on Net
in
at
that.
Night. Yeah.
Or I mean, we could do it on.
Well, Amber and I actually have talked about Genie on. I think we did it on the Call for Help show. So. Absolutely, we'll get him.
Yeah,
on.
We can get him on here too. I just don't. I'm never sure if people are interested in listening to, you know.
Yeah, but, it's not because it's not specifically about parenting,
right?
So let's. I'll give you a break.
Okay.
Let's do that on Net at Night.
Okay.
You don't have to do that. But I have to say, if that's the best thing that's happened in 10 years of reading and watching me, man, I needed you.
You
I can
did.
See I needed you, Megan.
Did you get that email I sent yet? I just sent the audio.
I saw you clicking away on your little.
Palm Centro.
You were able to do that from your phone, huh?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
You know, have you heard that you can use a phone-like device to send email?
Never
Did
heard
you know
of such
that?
A thing.
Okay. While you're seeing if you got that email, I'm going to read this email from Paul Govan. He runs a website called gamepeople.co.uk. He said, I recently bought a Game Boy Micro in a sale. This is a little game machine that plays old Game Boy Advance games, but it's only the size of a mobile phone. My wife now keeps this in her handbag so she can get it out when she needs to occupy our middle son, Tom, 3, for 30 minutes or so. This has proven invaluable when waiting in the doctor's surgery
good
or on
idea.
Short car journeys. He is fascinated by and will play the game for a good 30 minutes. We have a few games that are child-friendly. A favorite of Tom's is Tetris or Bubble Bobble.
I love Bubble Bobble. Bubble Bobble.
So that, yeah, that's a good, you know, just to have it in your...
Yeah. All right, I did get it. Baby,
okay.
Baby names.
This is from Mike Destra.
Hello, Megan and Leo. This is Mark in South Dakota. As this past weekend was Mother's Day, I thought I would share with you one of our favorite entertainments. Every year, the local hospitals in our city will publish a list of the first names of all the children born that year in that hospital. Our thing that we like to do is to go through this list and make comments about or notice funny trends that happen with the names. Now, we realize that some of the names are of an ethnic origin or may have special meaning to the families, but we just like to notice some of the funny things that happen with this. Now, I'm sure that you know one of the recent trends of naming a child Nevia, which is heaven spelled backwards. We noticed how many people spelled Nevia incorrectly now, either reversing the E and the A or doing something else odd with the name. Two of our favorites this year were... For the girls, a girl named Crew, as in Motley Crew.
C-R-U-E.
And a boy's name that we couldn't quite figure out, but as near as we can figure, it's F-R-Q-D. I have no idea how to pronounce that either.
R-Q-D.
Anyway, I just thought I would share that with you and enjoy the show and keep doing the good work. Talk to you soon. Bye.
The only thing about F-R-Q-D, it might be... I'm thinking an Arabic name that sometimes you'll see QD in Arabic because in Arabic you don't spell out the vowels. Mm. So it may be that that's an Arabic name for quad or something. And
Farquad.
Farquad. It is. It's Farquad in Arabic. Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps Farquad is an Arabic name.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But
I don't think Nevia.
That's good.
I haven't seen that. Have you seen that?
No, I've never seen that.
Heaven backwards.
But thank you, Mark, and I'm sorry for calling you Mike. I bet that happens all the time.
We're probably mispronouncing your name, too. So.
Yeah, probably. There sorry about that. but that gave me an idea, and I contacted the woman who runs the Baby Name Wizard. Have you seen that site? She's done all this research,
yes.
And so she's going to come on the show in a few weeks and
fun.
Talk to us.
Like what the most popular baby names are.
Yeah.
Different suggestions from our chat room for the book that I'm looking for. It is not The Cow on the Roof, although
that would be the obvious title.
Would be the
it?
Obvious title because that was the only thing I remember from that. But it's not The Cow on the Roof. And also, Dilwigi. You know, the one problem with chat rooms is people. You think baby names are weird?
Yeah.
Why do you read chat room?
Chat
names?
Room names.
Dilwigi says that FRQD. That actually stands for real quality discounts. So there you go. So that's really a
What does the F stand for?
For real.
Quality. Oh, for stands.
Stands for four.
Okay, real got quality. It. Well, that's all the time we have, I think, my friend.
It's all the time we have.
Is it? Or do you want to play another call?
The husband who was to mind the house from Norway. That sounds right.
The husband who was to mind the house.
Let me see if that's that sounds right. It's from Poloden. Let me just see if that's it. I'm going to see if I can find that on Google. Husband who was to mind the house. And it did. It was kind of like Norwegian.
It sounds Norwegian with a cow.
Yeah, because people don't really have cows that they let up on the roof anymore.
No, not. In Norway, they do.
Once upon a time, there was a man so bad-tempered and cross that he never thought his wife did anything right in the house. One evening, at haymaking time, he came home, scolding and swearing, and showing his teeth, and making a commotion.
Is that it?
No, there's more.
No, but I mean, is that the right book?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But what's funny is the entire text is on the website here.
Huh. The wisdom of chat rooms.
But I think probably, you know, I had an illustrated book. So this is a 150-year-old
Oh, it's a tale that's
Norse
told.
Norse tale.
Yeah.
That somebody
told
did,
and
did a,
I see.
So that's really neat. So should I read the whole thing?
If you want to, but I have to actually go blow my nose. So I was thinking we could end the show now.
Okay, now. All right. So for those of you who'd like to stay tuned, a dramatic reading of The Husband Who Was to Mind His House will follow immediately after this podcast. Go blow your nose.
Okay.
And that's it.
Thanks for... On Jumping Monkeys. Oh, wait.
That's it for Jumping Monkeys.
See you next week.
See ya. Bye.